Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Loaded show today. Tons of football. Tons of UT Vols to get into. Also, we got a Preds game for the first time since Monday. It feels like it's been 3 weeks since the Predators have last hit the ice. We've got all of that. Crispy is coming on today. Corey Curtis is part of the company today. We got just an absolutely loaded show. So I, like many of you, listen to the press conference of the new athletic director at the University of Tennessee, Danny White. And it's so funny because we talked about this yesterday. Danny White is what UT should be hiring. That, as far as the roadmap for what you need to hire, what you need to go get, how you need to get him, all of that is he checks the boxes. But that's all he does. The same athletic director at Florida that went out and hired Urban Meyer. I heard Braden Gall say this earlier, and we were texting back and forth, went out and hired Ron Zook. I mean, it's the same guy. It's the same way you go about it. It's the same. You're going to make a mistake here. You're going to have a good one there. You're going to have a lot of different things that happen as far as picking a coach or picking an athletic director. Josh Heupel, so far at UCF, looks like he's doing okay, but it's kind of going down a little bit. Certainly not like what Scott Frost did and how Scott Frost doing at Nebraska. But this is a par for the course hire. And I was worried about this. I saw a poll today. Did you think Danny White won the press conference? 90% of the people in the poll said Danny White won the press conference today. 90% of the people said it. And my response to that is, who cares? I remember when we played the Jeremy Pruitt introductory press conference on our show, and his southern twang and his talking about coaching ball and everything else won everybody over. He won the press conference. The Mets just hired a general manager who got fired after a month for sending pictures of his wee-wee. But guess what? They were tweeting about him saying, hey, this is the guy the Mets need. Apparently not. Let's not get too caught up in an opening press conference. There are things you can always take away. There are some important things that you can take out of it. The timeline of how you hired somebody, how a buyout is going to be paid, how you go about looking for a coach. There are things like that that are important. But how many people outside of Adam Gase at the Jets, how many people bomb the opening press conference? Philip Fulmer, who had no clue how to be an athletic director, he won his press conference. Jeremy Pruitt, who had no ability to manage a football program, he won his press conference. Everybody wins the press conference, that is, except for Adam Gase. Dondi Plowman today, talking, the new chancellor at Tennessee, who, by the way, if there's anybody that I look at right now and I think, you know what, they may have some ability, it's Dondi Plowman, the chancellor at Tennessee. I'll get to that in a second. But she was talking about why Danny White was the right hire for the UT job. Take a listen.
He comes from an extraordinary family of college athletics administrators, including the renowned and respected athletic director, his dad, at Duke University, Kevin White. As a matter of fact, a little side note, as I was reaching out and asking people for input about what should we be looking for in an athletic director, I was speaking with Peyton Manning, and he said, you know, I called Coach Cutcliffe and said, what should I tell her about qualities in an athletic director? And he said, tell her to pick someone exactly like our athletic director, Kevin White. And that was just really amazing because we did our best because we hired his son. The irony is Peyton had no idea that Danny was on our shortlist.
So the truth is, right there, she said, just a side note, I talked to Peyton Manning, and I said to Peyton, what do you think? And he said, well, David Cutcliffe said, very slick move on the part of Dondi Plowman, because everybody likes Peyton Manning. So let's just put it out there early on in the process that Peyton, I talked to Peyton, and Peyton said we needed somebody like this, and that's exactly the kind of guy we were looking at. Ta-da! Peyton also liked Butch Jones. Peyton also liked John Curry. Remember, Peyton was part of that. Peyton was part of Curry over Fulmer. He liked Fulmer, obviously. He liked Jeremy Pruitt. And now Dondi Plowman wants everybody out there to know Peyton likes this guy. Guess what? Peyton is a politician. He is a smooth quarterback. He's a multi-millionaire who convinces you that he eats Oreos and drives Buicks. Everybody knows that's not true. Do you think Peyton Manning drives a Buick? So, the press conference had that element to it. And then, of course, because right now they're firing a coach for cause because they didn't want him anymore in Jeremy Pruitt. And they're trying to play the moral high ground here. Dondi Plowman, Randy Boyd did all of that on Monday. Philip Fulmer kind of kept quiet. Jeremy Pruitt's threatened to sue the school. I wonder how this is going to go. It probably gets settled. But Danny White wants you to know. He wanted you to know at the press conference, hey, at Tennessee, I personally, we're going to do things the right way.
Integrity is an enormous part of who I am, of the people that we hire. I want a coach, a head coach that I can trust unequivocally, and that I know that that person is going to hire a staff full of high character people. And that goes beyond just staying within the rules or following regulations, whether they be university, conference, NCAA. It's bigger than that. It's having the right moral compass that's going to rub off on our student athletes, be a role model for our student athletes, and make sure that we're developing them in every way possible that their parents would be proud of, that all of us would be proud of. Integrity is huge.
Does anybody actually care about that? I mean, does anybody, as far as when we look at Georgia's athletic program and what makes them so strong, do we think, you know what? I think the Georgia Bulldogs and Kirby Smart, I think they've got a high moral compass. Or I think Dan Mullen and the Florida Gators have a high moral compass. Of course we don't think that. And nor do we really deep down inside care. But it's important to put it out there. Danny White, I keep calling him Kevin White, is that Danny White's job is not going to be to have a high moral compass. Now, he's going to need to have a high moral compass because Dondi Plowman has shown that she doesn't care if you don't win and you don't have a high moral compass, she will fire you. And I would be careful with that. But I guess I looked at today's press conference and I compare this to a lot of political speeches now where a candidate gets up there, or maybe they win an election, and they get up there and they tell you everything they're going to do. And we know deep down inside that they're not going to be able to do everything. We know it's not going to be that easy. It's important to be able to articulate it. But everybody was wowed by Philip Fulmer's entry speech. Everybody was wowed by Jeremy Pruitt's entry speech. Everybody was wowed by Butch Jones's brick-by-brick speech. Everybody is always wowed. In fact, I think you should be a little concerned when somebody doesn't win the press conference. That's why you don't hear me use terms. Unless you hire Nick Saban, you won't hear me use terms like home run hire. You won't hear me brag on a guy because he won the press conference. It's so funny. When Floyd and I started this show 6 years ago in 2016, I can't tell you all the people out there who said this show was going to fail. Well, I mean, we got so many calls and we got so many, and I saw it all on Twitter. Trust me, I see it all. And everybody said this show was going to fail. And it's funny because we never thought the show was going to fail. But we never talked about it. We never needed to have a press conference. We never needed to tell people when we started the show, hey, this show is not going to fail. We just became the number one show at 4 o'clock, and we just let that do the talking. And I think that Tennessee fans now are aware of that. I don't think winning the press conference means much to the fans, but I would calm down before I get fired up. One thing that was consistently brought up with Danny White today was, how is he going to find a football coach? I saw an article today, Football Scoop reported, that Tony Elliott at Clemson, the offensive coordinator, he could be in play. And it's funny that people would say, oh, yes. People would say, yes, yes, yes. I think this is so funny that, yeah, Tony Elliott, he's killing it at Clemson. Well, remember, Jeremy Pruitt was the top coordinator at Alabama when you hired him. Doesn't mean that Tony Elliott won't have success. Titans tried to reach out to Tony Elliott for the offensive coordinator job, reportedly. He turned it down. Last college coordinator they tried to go after was Ryan Day. He seems to be a pretty good college coach. But it's all about who they're going to hire for the football program. Dondi Plowman said it in a press conference today. It's all about who they're going to go hire for football. So while it was nice to hear Danny White talk, and it was nice to see him in his orange and his UT and whatever, the press conference was more like a political speech. We'll see if he actually can back it up. Don't get too worked up about winning the press conference. Don't get too worked up in losing the press conference. When the Buffalo Bills hired Rex Ryan, everybody was like, oh my God, he won the press conference. They went out and bought season tickets, Buffalo fans, because Rex Ryan was coming to town. How'd that work out for the Buffalo Bills? Does anybody remember when Sean McDermott was hired? Does anybody remember when their general manager, Brandon Bean, was hired? Nobody remembers when those guys were hired. People don't even remember where those guys were hired from. And I'd say this, they're both doing pretty well in Buffalo. So I listened to the press conference. There are things I took away from it, but don't let anybody tell you, won the press conference, he's our guy, home run hire, he's the man, he's going to fix Vol football, he's going to... Let's slow down before we do that. Remember Jeremy Pruitt's opening press conference? Aye. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. There is one person who this week I think has stood out to me that I would say, you know, they look like they got an idea maybe what they're doing here. It seems maybe their words don't equate to the truth, but is that really all that important? We'll get to that coming up next. Fireball Hot Take Friday. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. And, of course, your calls and your texts. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025, the game.
Before anything else, I'm extremely student-athlete-centric. I want any student-athletes here at Tennessee to hear that from me as the director of athletics. Call the student-athletes at UCF. They'll confirm it. Every single decision we make will start and stop with their best interests. That's what we're going to be all about. And if we do that, we're going to see greater and greater success, and we'll help them become the best version of themselves as an athlete, as a student, as a person, so they can leave here, so that they will leave here and have every success in life.
That was Danny White, the new athletic director at the University of Tennessee, the new general manager of the UT Vols football program. Let's not kid ourselves. Tennessee basketball is in the top 10 right now. And there are Vol fans out there who like Vol basketball. I remember a couple years ago when they were number one and we watched and we talked about it. But deep down inside, Vol basketball is there and Tennessee is a football school. Vol baseball, nobody cares about. Women's basketball, who watched last night? I watched a game last night. They probably could have beaten Connecticut. They didn't, but I don't think many people care about that much anymore either. I mean, for all the things Philip Fulmer screwed up, his hire for women's basketball is the most egregious mistake I think he made as athletic director, other than hiring Jeremy Pruitt, and yet nobody cares. So nobody cares about that. Nobody cares about baseball. Nobody cares about track and field. Nobody cares about tennis. Nobody cares about anything at the University of Tennessee other than football and basketball if they're good. But I can't even remember how Vol basketball did last year before they had the shutdown at the SEC tournament. It just didn't matter. One thing that I took away from this press conference, one thing that I think I'm starting to take away from this week of watching the Vols, I had no idea who Dondi Plowman was before Monday. I mean, I knew they had a new chancellor. If you had told me what's the name of the new chancellor at Tennessee, I'd have said, I think it starts with a B. And so people don't care about chancellors and presidents. And it's just like the president of the Titans. How many of you all know who the president of the Titans is? It's a guy named Burke Nihil. How many people, if Burke Nyhill walked into their house right now, how many people would know what that guy looks like? Now, we all know who the general manager is. We all knew who the head coach is. College football, same way. So Dondi Plowman, on Monday, she gets up there and announces that they fired Jeremy Pruitt. Maybe the least surprising aspect of the entire week. Fulmer retiring is more surprising. Danny White being hired in a matter of hours is more surprising. Honestly, you knew they were going to fire Pruitt. I said it on the show last week when they brought in Kevin Steele. They have a hiring freeze, and they hire an interim head coach to come in here. Well, he'll be on the staff. Okay. So what I love is Dondi Plowman today was talking about the whole process of how she found Danny White. Now, she's paying $1.8 million to Danny White, which is double what they were paying Philip Fulmer when he was athletic director. They're also paying a $2.5 million buyout. This, again, is a school that just fired a coach for cause, so they didn't have to pay his buyout money. Those are some pretty big decisions. I don't know how you make decisions as quickly as she seemed to be able to make them when she laid out exactly how long it took them to find out that Danny White was the guy. Take a listen.
I want to give you all some insight into how this all transpired over the last few days. We retained Parker Executive Search Firm on Saturday, and they began to compile a list of potential AD candidates. I spent Monday evening and all day Tuesday taking calls and talking to different groups inside athletics, such as head coaches, senior leadership team, student athlete advisory council, the Faculty Senate Committee on Athletics, and groups of donors, just to try to find out what should we be looking for in our next athletic director. We were confident that the position would be attractive and attract robust interest. We were immediately proven correct. Our search firm presented us with an impressive and diverse list of prospects, but it was clear who the top candidate was. It was Danny White. We moved swiftly, and I had my first conversation with Danny on Tuesday night over Zoom during the Tennessee-Florida basketball game, actually. We both missed that. On Wednesday morning, President Boyd and Chairman Compton and I had a 90-minute Zoom meeting with Danny. And that evening, the three of us flew to Orlando to meet with Danny and his lovely family. So glad y'all are here. And we were blown away by his ideas, his character, his commitment to both academic and athletic success.
Now, all of that is true in a certain way, but it's not actually true. So it probably is true that the first time she talked to Danny was on Tuesday. By the way, Danny was pretty much hired by then anyways. Read between the lines of what she said. Well, we hired the search firm on Saturday. Okay, so they fired Pruitt on Monday, but they hired a search firm on Saturday. Then I met with boosters and other people in the university. And then I talked to Danny on Tuesday. Then we had a Zoom with Danny on Wednesday. Then we met with Danny on Thursday. Then Danny's here on Friday. Okay. Again, let's analyze all of this. First and foremost, Jeremy Pruitt was fired well before Monday. When you found out about the investigation from a Knoxville radio host before the last game of the season, so this is the first weekend in December, before the last game of the season, it came out that Tennessee had an internal investigation. That wasn't an accident. It wasn't Jeremy Pruitt who was taking that to the media. So it clearly came from Dondi Plowman. Because it's not coming from Philip Fulmer either. And then, a couple weeks later, they brought in the lawyers. Remember, Tennessee went out and hired those high-priced lawyers to come in and review the football program? They weren't coming to review. The reviewing had been done. The evidence had been collected. They were coming to set up their case so they could fire him with cause. Why? Because hiring those lawyers probably cost you a couple $100,000. Firing Jeremy Pruitt without cause cost you $12 million. Seems like a pretty simple investment to me. So then it takes a couple of weeks for you to get everything in a row before you decide you want to move. And this is where I think Dondi Plowman's really smart. She leaned on Philip Fulmer to bring Kevin Steele in because somebody has to be here for a little bit of time and somebody has to be in charge. So the second they brought in the lawyers, Pruitt was done. It was obvious, even to people on the outside, Pruitt was done when they brought in Steele. I said this on the show last week. Somebody sent me a tweet that said from a Vols reporter who said, no, Pruitt made the hire, and Steele's going to be on the staff, and Steele is going to be a position coach. They're in the middle of a hiring freeze, and he's going to be a position coach, and we don't even know what position it's going to be? No, he's not. Dondi Plowman probably knew when she fired Jeremy Pruitt publicly, when she fired Philip Fulmer, or I should say, when Philip Fulmer decided to retire, she probably knew Danny White was going to be their athletic director. And guess what? Danny White probably already knows now who his football coach is going to be. Everybody's sitting there talking about who are the Vols going to go see, what are the Vols going to go do. You heard the clip we just played where Danny White talked about, you know, I got to talk to the student athletes. I got to talk to the student athletes before deciding who I'm going to hire as my football coach. I'll get to that in a second. Dondi Plowman knew what she was doing the whole time. And this, if you're a Vol fan, this is where I feel like you can come away from all of this feeling the best about your program, is that your chancellor is a ninja as far as going behind the scenes and doing all the tough stuff and doing it so that you get what you want. You didn't want Pruitt anymore, and she didn't want Pruitt either. I heard Paul Feinbaum yesterday said on his show that Jeremy Pruitt didn't treat people in the football office well. Well, Dondi Plowman's been there now for over a year. She's been there for two football seasons. If Jeremy Pruitt's not treating people right, it's going to bother her. She didn't hire Pruitt. She didn't hire Fulmer. She got there, and like really good managers do, they get there and they just observe. And then after a while, they decide, okay, I've observed long enough. You, and you go, you stay. She observed. She realized Fulmer didn't know what he was doing. She realized Pruitt wasn't capable of being the football coach at Tennessee. And then somebody got sloppy in recruiting. Somebody slipped up, and it gave Plowman her opportunity to strike. So she strikes. And all, yes, the first time she talked to Danny White probably was on Tuesday via Zoom during the Tennessee-Florida basketball game when Danny White's brother was beating the daylights out of the Vols. But it wasn't the first time that she talked to somebody. And I'm just, again, this is my speculation. It wasn't the first time that she talked to somebody representing Danny White. And it wasn't the first time that Danny White knew that the Vols were going to be interested in him. It wasn't a call on the phone from a Knoxville phone number. Danny White, in the middle of a women's basketball committee meeting, looks at his phone and says, oh, this is Knoxville. I think I'll take this call. Hello, this is Danny. Yes, we'd like to hire you at the University of Tennessee. We'd like to meet on Zoom. No. They knew over the weekend. That search firm Dondi Plowman was talking about, her people talk to his people. They knew. Then she talks to him on Tuesday. She likes him. Sold. Deal's done. At this point, they have already talked about the money probably. They already know what it would take to get Danny White to leave. They already know what Tennessee is going to be willing to offer. Then they talk on Tuesday because now they can talk. Now it's kosher. Now she can probably tell him what the NCAA investigation is. Then they talk on Wednesday with the other decision makers, the president and the board. And it's like, hey, you like the guy? All right, now let's fly down there. By the time they touched down, the only reason that they flew down there was to fly him back. All these things were done ahead of time, which is how smart organizations are run. You know how dumb organizations are run? Dumb organizations are the ones that get blindsided and all of a sudden just start freaking out and panicking and hiring football coaches in the middle because they don't know. The Houston Texans are a dumb organization Deshaun Watson doesn't want to keep going the Patriot way. He doesn't want this team chaplain there. So they go and hire a Patriot general manager, and they keep the team chaplain, and now Deshaun's mad. And now Nick Caserio, the general manager of the Texans, can't hire the guy he wants to be head coach because he's going to have to hire Eric Bieniemy because that's what Deshaun's going to want to do. Because they're scrambling, because they're dumb. When Beverly Davenport, in the middle of a coaching search, pulled out on Greg Schiano and subsequently fired John Curry and brought in Philip Fulmer, that's what a dumb organization does. So if I can take any positives away from this, Don D. Plowman, everything is measured. Everything is scoped out. And that's how good organizations are run. Now, sometimes you can get lucky. Mal Moore at Alabama thought he had Rich Rodriguez at West Virginia. Rich Rod pulled out, and he called the Hail Mary and went and hired Nick Saban. Sometimes you get lucky on that, but not very often. And I would just say if there's any takeaway that I have from anything I heard today, it is how obvious it is to me that Don D. Plowman knew what she was doing the entire time. It was so measured. It was so advancedly scouted. This wasn't just on Monday we decided we needed an athletic director. On Tuesday we called the guy. On Wednesday we zoomed the guy. On Thursday we hired the guy. No, that's not what happened. And that, for a university and a football program that we have been wondering and wondering and wondering if the leadership up top is ever going to get any better, at least it looks like she knows what she's doing. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Speaking of scoping things out, thinking of knowing what you're going to do, even when you pretend like you don't, there was an element of the press conference today, and it's probably the one that you all care the most about, and I want to get to that next. And it came from Danny White, and that's what we'll do. 615-737-1025 and your text and call. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Fireball Hot Take Friday. CSP at 102.5 The Game.
Danny has a stellar record of hiring great coaches and winning championships. His first task will be to hire a new head football coach and then support the hiring of assistants and others in the athletic department. In these searches, he will, of course, be looking for fierce competitors and proven champions, but he will also be looking to assemble a team of diverse backgrounds and talents, a team with character and integrity, and a team that reflects his own commitment to all our student athletes and to the best traditions of the University of Tennessee.
Don D. Plowman, I'll say this, she's my favorite. Out of all of this and all the last 4 years or whatever it's been of crazy Tennessee BS, she's my favorite because she seems like she's the smartest and she's the most measured. So I said right there, when all this started happening, and everybody was wondering what was going on with Pruitt, and Pruitt is going out to go meet with Henry Toa Toa, and what's going on in the football department, and here come these lawyers. And once the lawyers came in, they knew what they were going to do. Tennessee was looking to fire Pruitt for cause. They needed a Band-Aid. They hired Kevin Steele last week. Then they hired a search firm on Saturday to find an AD. And they kind of already knew who they were going to hire anyways. And then the search firm probably did their job of connecting with Danny White's people so that everybody could say, I didn't call them. They didn't call me. That's how it works in sports. And it's so funny because Danny White, the new athletic director at Tennessee, was asked about the number one thing is hiring his football coach. And what's the process of hiring your coach going to look like, and how are you going to go about it? Because that's what everybody wants to know. And Danny White was asked about that today. Take a listen.
I'm meeting with the football team later this afternoon. I have never started a coaching search without hearing from the student athletes. They know a whole lot what's going on, what's going well, what's not going well. I'll ask them to vote. They're hearing, if they're watching, they're learning this right now. I'm going to tell them again this afternoon, but I'll share a little bit about my philosophy and how we'll be approaching things here. But I want them to vote on team leaders. I can't meet with 100 people and have a meaningful meeting. I want to meet with 6, 7, 8, 9 of them and give them a little bit of time, give the rest of the team some time to, after they voted on their team representatives, and give them time to kind of download everything they're thinking. And I'll ask that group to share with me, represent to me what the thoughts are, what's the tenor of the roster, what they think they need in terms of attributes. We're not going to be going over candidates. That's not fair, obviously, to potential candidates. But that's helped me in every search. that I've been a part of, that I've led. And I think it's been a big part of why the vast majority, if not all of those searches, have led to a better than expected first year, which allows a new leader of a program to get some momentum early on.
So I could be wrong, but I think he's lying. And here's why I think he's lying. And I think he's doing a great job of it. He's going to meet with the players. He's going to find out who the leaders on the team are, and he's going to talk, and he's going to pretend to listen. Now, I think he knows who he wants to hire, and I think that was part of the discussion. I think part of the discussion with the search firm, with his representation, was, would you be interested in the UT job? His representation said yes. Then it was all about money. Then once they figured out what the right ballpark was there, then the next question was, who are you going to hire as coach? Because everybody wants to know who he's going to hire as coach, but he's not going to tell the media, he's not going to tell the players. But if you're the one with the money and you're the one doing the hiring, he's going to tell you who he's going to hire as coach. That's what you do. I think he knows who he's going to hire as coach. I think who he's going to hire as coach already knows. That guy, if it's Tony Elliott at Clemson, fine. That guy's representation has already talked to that coach and said, hey, Danny White's going to bring you to UT. Most of that's probably been ironed out already. But remember what I brought up about the Texans earlier and the difference between a smart organization and a dumb organization? Danny White probably doesn't really care what the leaders on the team want in their next football coach. Again, I think he's already got the guy in mind. I think he's probably already got the guy hired. But the players need to feel like they have a part in this. They need to feel like Danny White, their new athletic director, cares. Because Deshaun Watson was told in Houston that he'd be a part of all of this, and then he wasn't. And now he's mad. And now he doesn't want to play there anymore. Danny White doesn't care about these players that much. They're 3-7, and all of the good ones are gone. This is a one-win team in the SEC right now, as is constructed. But you can't go sign 100 guys overnight. So you have to keep whatever's left there. How do you keep whatever's left is there? You make them feel like they're important. And that's what he's doing, because that's what a real leader does. The best kind of leader is somebody, I think there are two things that great leaders do. One, they think big picture, they think long term. So when they decide to make a move quickly, it's something they've thought about for forever. They've planned out when they're going to do it. They've planned out how they're going to do it. They've planned out what the next step is before they do the first step. And the other thing is they make other people, they make subordinates feel like their ideas are actually the idea of the subordinate. So when the players tell Danny White what they want, almost like one of these palm readers who reads your future, who sits there and says, oh, they throw out a bunch of keywords, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, you're right. My uncle did have a hysterectomy last week. How did you know that? All they said was, I feel something medical with your family. Uncle's hysterectomy. Oh my God. Danny White's going to sit down with these players. They're going to tell him a bunch of things about what they didn't like about the last coach. And then he's going to go out, bring in his coach, and he's going to say, you know why this guy's a great fit? Because you guys didn't like that about this coach, and this guy does this. Because that's what a good leader does. When a guy you all know got hired at a network, sports network, he didn't really know college football. And the guy in the talent office said to him, hey, all I've got is an opening in college football. And he goes, I don't know how much, I'm more of an NFL NBA guy. I'm not really a college football guy. And the guy in the talent office said, I thought you were a college football guy. And the guy said, you know what? You're right. I am a college football guy. Next thing you know, guy's on TV doing college football. Now he is doing things that you all see. Why? Because they needed a college football guy. And he said, you know what? You're right. I am a college football guy. That's what Danny White's going to do with this coach. let's say that he's got, let's say Tony Elliott, again, the offensive coordinator at Clemson, the guy has no interest in being a coordinator in the NFL. Let's say Tony Elliott is the hire at Tennessee, and he sits down and talks with the team leaders at Tennessee, and they say, you know, we want a coach who really connects with us. We want a coach who's got a good personality. We want a coach with an explosive offense. We want a coach who, again, all these things that Jeremy Pruitt didn't have. He hires Tony Elliott. And at that press conference, when he introduces him, oh, he's got a great personality to connect with the players. And, you know, I was talking with Travis Etienne the other day, who said that Tony Elliott was XYZ. I talked to Trevor Lawrence and Amari Rodgers, and they said, you know, Tony Elliott was all these things, all the things you've told me you want. So that's what I think he's going to do, and I think that's the right thing to do. Now, it doesn't mean that the coach he's going to hire can go beat out Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, all the schools you have to compete with in recruiting. Doesn't mean he can beat them out, and that's ultimately what's going to decide whether or not you win. But this first steps I'm seeing, kind of the surgery of the operation, at least on the part of Dondi Plowman and the part of Danny White, looks to be pretty good. It's adding up for how competent people manage. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Texter says, and our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Texter says, Jared, all your points make sense, except explain to me why Plowman signed Pruitt's contract extension 6 months ago. And that's a good point. My guess is, at the time, Jeremy Pruitt was 8-4. They decided to extend the contract. It wouldn't surprise me if Dondi Plowman had reservations about that, and that ultimately the decision to sign the contract extension was put on her by her athletic director. She wasn't so sure, and when it didn't work out, and when they had to get out of it, and when she realized she couldn't take anymore, that's probably when she realized she couldn't take any more Philip Fulmer either. I'm guessing it wasn't the women's basketball team that pushed her over the edge to say, okay, enough's enough with Philip Fulmer. You know why they kissed his butt on Monday as much as they did? Because they didn't want anybody thinking that they pushed him out. Guess what? They did. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. The sports world absolutely lost a legend, and maybe one that doesn't get talked about enough. That's just me. We'll get to that coming up next here on Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Here's the pitch by Downing. Swinging. There's a drive into left center field. That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. It's 7:15. There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron. The fireworks are going. Henry Aaron is coming around third. His teammates are at home plate, and listen to this crowd.
Number 715 for Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron passed away today. Longtime Major League superstar. Last played in 1976, passing away at the age of 86. And there are tons of statements out there. The Braves released a statement. Baseball released a statement. The Hall of Fame released a statement. The mayor of Atlanta released a statement. I even saw Ozzie Newsome, the president of the Ravens, released a statement on the passing of Hank Aaron. I am a diehard Atlanta Braves fan. Now, I was born, obviously, well after Hank Aaron was done playing. But that doesn't mean that Hank Aaron isn't special to a lot of younger people. The thing that I guess I always look at when I think of Hank Aaron, I tweeted this out today, that Hank Aaron made not just the Braves a better team or baseball a better sport, but he made the South a better place, a more accepting place. He made Atlanta a better place. He made America a better place because of what he did. I think Hank Aaron's the greatest baseball player of all time. He hit over 300. He hit 755 home runs, the most real home runs in the history of baseball. I know Barry hit more, but come on now. He played in the Negro Leagues. He played in the major leagues. He was an MVP almost as soon as he entered the league. He was an all-star almost as soon as he entered the league. But when people talk about the racial divide in baseball or breaking the barrier in baseball, a lot of the times we bring up Jackie Robinson because he broke the color barrier for the Brooklyn Dodgers. But Hank Aaron in baseball was probably the first black superstar in the sport in the South. The Braves moved to Atlanta in the 60s. At that point, as far as baseball was concerned, there was only one other Southern team, the Houston Astros, who at the time were, I think, the Houston Colt 45s. They were the only team in the South. They entered the league in 62. There were no Florida Marlins, Miami Marlins. There were no Tampa Bay Devil Rays or Tampa Bay Rays. There were no Texas Rangers. At that point, they were still the Washington Senators. There was no baseball really in the South at the major league level. And in comes Hank Aaron, already an MVP, consistently an all-star, one of the best players in the history of the sport. And now he's chasing Babe Ruth's record. Baseball was immensely popular. Again, it is America's pastime. And back then, it was the pastime. I know baseball's fallen off, but not then. So while a lot of people have learned in school about Jackie Robinson, at that point, Jackie Robinson had played in Brooklyn, and the Dodgers had moved to L.A. Willie Mays played in New York. And then the Giants moved to San Francisco. In the South, where we know the stories of the civil rights movement, where we know the stories of what all happened and what was a very sad period of time for our country, in Atlanta, with a very big African-American community, Hank Aaron went through a lot. He took a lot of heat. If you go back and watch a documentary on Hank Aaron. I did a research project in school about Hank Aaron. And if you go back and you look at the death threats he received, all of the physical harm, the mail, the things that people were saying they were going to do to keep him from breaking Babe Ruth's record, I would have quit. You would have quit. We probably all would have quit. Hank Aaron had security everywhere he went. But it never stopped him. And he hit that home run. He was, again, in my opinion, if we take all of that out and we just focus about what he was on the field, I still think he's the greatest baseball player ever. I think he's better than Willie Mays. I think he's better than Babe Ruth. I think he's better than Mike Trout. I think he's better than Albert Pujols. I think he's better. You can put anybody up there you want. Ty Cobb. I think Hank Aaron. And I'm biased because I'm a Braves fan, but I think he's the greatest player who ever lived. He holds the record for most All-Star appearances. 25 All-Star appearances. From 1955 to 1975, Hank Aaron never missed the All-Star game. Now, that's 20 years. They used to play two. He won a World Series. He won an MVP. He won a Gold Glove. He was a batting champion. He was obviously a home run leader. He is the greatest player, in my opinion, who ever played. He not only has the record, the real record for home runs, he also holds the MLB record for most RBIs, most extra base hits, most total base hits, total bases, top five in hits, runs. Nobody ever talks about Hank Aaron like he's the greatest player who ever lived. They talk about Babe Ruth. They talk about Willie Mays. They talk about some of the great Yankees, DiMaggio, Mantle. But Hank Aaron not only was a great player, maybe the greatest who ever lived, but what he meant culturally at a time in this country, what he went through during that time in this country, it probably doesn't get brought up enough. And Hank Aaron, in every interview he did and every conversation he had, Hank Aaron never openly just talked about it. You had to ask Hank Aaron about it. And as great of a baseball player as he was, as I tweeted out earlier today, it wasn't just baseball. He made the organization he played for and worked for. He made the sport he played. He made the city he played in. He made the region of the country that he lived in. And he made this country a better place. Hank Aaron was a legend. He played in the Negro Leagues. He played in the National League. He played in the American League. He did it all. He's got all these records. 97.8 first ballot Hall of Famer. Who's the 2.2% that didn't vote for Hank Aaron? And while we've lost a lot of people the last couple of years, a lot of big-time sports icons, never forget what Hank Aaron meant. Never forget what he accomplished, not just as a ball player, but as a person. Reading from his Wikipedia page, Hank Aaron held front office roles with the Braves, was senior vice president. He's in the Wisconsin Hall of Fame from when they were the Milwaukee Braves. They have the Hank Aaron Award to recognize the top offensive players in each league. He was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2002 by George W. Bush. He was named a Georgia trustee by the Georgia Historical Society in recognition of accomplishments that reflect the ideals of Georgia's founders. The world will miss Hank Aaron. Stillman and Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday continues next.